Welcome to the Analyst of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and I'm super excited. I'm going to do a series here, expected points from 2021, and I'm planning some work on individual team shows here coming out over the next month or so. I really want to work that stuff in over the summer. We go through each team. If you're familiar with some of the stuff we did last year, go through each team, talk about all the different situations and everything. But sort of in the planning for that, I was going through some expected points, going to incorporate some of that stuff. But I did want to talk about expected points per game. And then I'm going to do a recap show on some of the human hand grenade index, sort of where we are at now. And that'll be coming here in the next few days as well. But I do want to get the expected points out there. So this one, we're going to talk about the high expected points. Next show, we'll talk about the low expected points. We'll go through receivers as well. I'm not sure with tight ends and quarterbacks, it's going to make too much of a difference, but we'll talk about them as well. Maybe they'll just be one show. So this is teams with the most expected points here last year at the running back position. So expected points is a metric that is over at PFF. I am a big fan of it. I know some other people have worked on it. This is something that frankly, I think is the type of analysis that we should be doing. And I think that it's the type of analysis that gives us an edge in our leagues and in understanding player values and the like here. So number one, the team with the most expected points per game last year was Tampa Bay. And so they had 27 expected points per game. They scored 26.4. So just off of expectation, 2% below expectation. That was right at the median in terms of where they were at. They ranked 16th in the league in terms of performance against expectation. So right about at the median there. We basically run it back somewhat. Fournette is running back 21 in Dynasty right now. That's still a smashing success. It's still a smashing upside type situation in that 1 to 2 year window that we've talked about a bit. Some deals that I've seen recently, Christian Watson for Fournette. I think that's an interesting youth versus youth versus sort of near-term ceiling bet. Give me Fournette. Singletary and a late second. I think we've talked about this one at other points as well. Give me Fournette pretty clearly there. Higbee for Fournette and two tight end. That's a little bit more interesting because the two tight ends pretty rare. But again, I think you might even see Fournette in a more contending window, a more multiple year window than Higbee is even at this point. So give me Fournette there, although I think that's maybe a little bit more. I think that's a better calibrated deal than certainly the Singletary one. And the Watson one feels just like a pure pivot away from contending. That seems like a decision that I would have made 4 or 5 years ago, that Watson for Fournette deal. I would have been on the Watson side like 3 or 4 years ago. And that's definitely this is definitely a keep your contending window open deal. Would be on the Fournette side for sure. Rashad White, running back 33 in RDP. So if he were to step into this situation, highly lucrative situation, and and overall in drafts isn't too expensive, right? Kind of in that injury away role, really from the 30s into like the mid 40s, kind of is where you get your pedigreed day two injury away guys there. I think it's presuming that he's the injury away guy. So for what that's worth, it is high sort of on that scale, but I think probably right given the lucrative situation and his potential profile to maximize it. So next one up is actually, and I was surprised by this, and this one really surprised me basically across the board. The team with the second most expected points per game last year was the New England Patriots. 26.9, just below Tampa Bay. They actually scored 30.2, which is just below. That is second in the league as well. So they were expected for second. They overperformed it. They actually performed second in the league, a tenth of a point behind Indianapolis. So when you think about that for a second, Indianapolis had Jonathan Taylor, the RB1. The Patriots basically replicated what Indy did last year with the running back position. Again, split into a couple of different spots. We'll get to that in a second. But they overperformed expectation by 12.25%. So basically 12.25% over expectation. That was the fourth best performance, right actually in line with what Indy did. They were at 14.7% over expectation. So kind of right there. Very, very similar. That's an interesting comp between them. James White didn't play a ton, but overperformed expectation. He was expected for 8.9 points per game and scored just over 10. Brandon Bolden under expectation at 7.6 expected. He performed 6.7. Stevenson right at expectation, 9.7, and he scored 9.4. The big one that I thought was interesting, expected for 11.7, was Damian Harris and scored 14.3. So not a huge number. Right, that's kind of the problem a bit, is that it's so spread out, but I think pretty lucrative. I think that they're bound for some regression. The fact that they have a defensive coordinator calling plays isn't probably the best bet for offensive progress. But this is a system that produced a lot of running back points. Is some of that the rookie quarterback, right? Is some of that Josh McDaniel? I mean, that probably bodes well for a team like Vegas, who is also going to appear on this list. I'm a little tepid on. I think Damian Harris. This is probably good evidence that Damian Harris is underappreciated talent-wise. The ceiling concerns, specifically with the receiving, is tough, and I understand that. But it's a lucrative situation. It was, anyways. I'm a little bit tepid. I think he's probably better than his in skill and talent. He's probably better than where his market valuation is. But a lot of the concerns with the coaching situation and the like there, that gives me pause, and I understand why he is where he is in terms of cost. But, for example, Damian Harris and Rashad White right next to each other in terms of RDP. So at the cost of an injury away backup running back who frankly has some decent upside, you could get a weekly starter and a guy like Damian Harris. So, you know, for what that's worth, those are sort of the balancing spots that you're making there. All right, next up is Tennessee. And Tennessee expected for 26.7, so really close. They were actually tied with Detroit in terms of expected points there, both at 26.7. Tennessee actually scored just over expectation. They scored 26.9 actual points per game. That's good for fourth. And they were 0.8% over expectation. That's good for 11th versus expectation. Derrick Henry right at expectation, basically. He was expected for 21 points per game, 23.1. So he was actually 10% over expectation. So that's pretty good. A lot of that's touchdown based, though. I would note his expected yards, 962. His actual yards, 937. So he did underperform expectation. I've talked a little bit about this in some other spots. When you look at his broken tackle rate, his expectation against his expected yards, when you look at some of his yards per route run, his PFF grade, like you look at some of the metrics that just aren't fantasy points, there's a little bit of concern there with his performance. And the thing that gives me some pause is we could be seeing a downtick in his, in some of his performance, and we could see it relatively quickly. And I think that a little bit of that was masked by, the injury. We didn't get to see and the volume, right? The volume early sort of covered up for what could have been some real, performance decline, I guess would be the best way to put it there. So that's the part that I have a little bit of caution on. This does speak well to us to a backup situation, though, right? When you look at some of the stuff, again, they graded out pretty well on their offensive line as well. Hassan Haskins is a guy that is – and if you're just, hey, can you perform at expectation because the system's pretty good? A cheap third-round in some spots. You could even get him in the fourth round of rookie drafts. That's a really interesting one. And so anyone that's there, right, if there's another situation or something or where it's not Hassan Haskins, I think that's a situation where you really need to be on, because A, if there is some erosion from Derrick Henry, the system is good, right? And if Derrick Henry starts to break down, the system is good. He performed just a little bit over expectation last year. If you perform right at about expectation, you're plenty capable of producing some high-end running back two or running back one type production in this offense. So that's him there. Next up is Detroit. So on the surface level, there is a little concern here with Detroit in terms of their performance. But when you look, a good combination here of really some high-end potential with some profiles that we like. So 26.7 points per game. Again, that's tied with Tennessee at third. When you look at how they actually performed, it's that 26.7 is expected points per game, 25.7 actual points per game from the running backs. That is good for 11th, so underperformed by about a point. A little over, basically 3.8% under expectation, which is 20th in the league versus expectation. So they did leave a little on the table. When you look at it, and I actually went back to 2020 as well, because I had a little bit of concern that this might be a Swift issue. When you look at Swift, he was expected for 16.6 points per game. He actually performed at 16.2, so not a huge difference there. He was a little bit under expectation in terms of his actual rushing yards. He was expected for 682. He was at 617. He performed slightly over expectation in terms of rushing touchdowns, but again, just by like three quarters of a rushing touchdown, he had five. He's expected for 4.21, so basically 8/10 over, not too different. When you look, he was expected for 2.2 receiving touchdowns. He scored two, so right at about expectation in terms of total touchdowns there. Again, he's a little bit under in terms of yards, rushing, right at about receiving yards, and just under in terms of reception. So I would say, generally speaking, 4/10 of a point under expectation is right about the number. So you with that, right? I mean, that's a running back one, certainly in his range of outcomes, high end running back one as well. You kind of hope he consolidates a little of this, right? His per game stuff's a little difficult because at the end of the season, he didn't really play a ton. Right? If you kind of parsed it down to the games he actually played, it was like 18, 19 points per game. So again, right up there in the top, top six or so at the position. If you got the full, right, the what I would consider like the actual Swift production games there. So he's fine in terms of production. I went back last year because I was a little concerned. I remember during the season he was under expectation in terms of rushing yards. He did this as well. Again, he's probably about 10% under expectation in terms of rushing yards this year. Last year he performed just over expectation, right? He was expected for 14.9 points per game and scored 16.3. Over in receiving yards and over in rushing yards versus expectation as well in 2020. So I don't think there's any sort of systematic problem or any sort of structural problem with Swift or anything like that based on his production last year. Right at about what you would expect over 2 years, basically playing the expectation in a pretty good offense that has some good stuff to go for running backs, right? So that's a top four expected points per game offense. So like that, again, then you look at this offense, you take shots on guys that are injury away types. So Jamal Williams, this is a good situation for him as well. Again, he performed a little under expectation in terms of his yardages last year. So that's a little bit of a pause there. But again, some of these things can be a little fluky. He was basically about a point under expectation is how it came out to be. So he was over in terms of receptions and the like there. So again, performing to expectation in a pretty good offense. Fine. Right. We'll take that. But that's one that, if he's a cut or something like that, there's a guy like Craig Reynolds or Igwebuki or someone like that, that's a further down the roster further down the calendar type of consideration, but just wanted to file back of mind that running back three spot as we go along could have some value there. Okay, next one up, top five, is Las Vegas. And they were expected for 26.5 points per game. They scored 25.5. So again, basically a point under expectation. They were fifth in terms of expected points, 12th in terms of actual points per game, 19th in terms of points versus expectation. A lot of things are going to change, notably the changing coaching staff. Although I would note, not necessarily the worst move, right? If you're going to move from a top five offense and you're going to put in a new offensive coordinator, you'd like one that actually produced more. And that's exactly what Josh McDaniel did. So some optimism there. Again, their offensive line was pretty porous last year in terms of how they performed. We won't go into specifically in detail about the Vegas offense, but that's one that could get better, I think, basically across the board. When you looked at it, Jacobs just under expectation in terms of some of the receiving yards by basically like 3 points total on the season. He was under in terms of rushing yardage expectation, but over by a touchdown and rushing touchdowns. So 16.1 was his expected points, and he scored 15.3 points per game. So right about on line there. Drake, just a little over expectation. He had 8.5 points per game, 7.7 expected. So a little over expectation, and that was primarily receiving yards where he went over expectation. So by about 70. So decent performance there for him, although he was kind of phased down and caught 30 balls compared to 54 for Jacobs. So I'll be interested to see how they're put together against the addition of Zamir White and some changing of the offensive scheme. I think all of that's going to be really interesting to see how this comes together. But this is was a high-end producing backfield last year. We'll see what it looks like going forward. All right, the sixth team, and again, we'll just do the top eight, and then I'll do the bottom eight for the other show, and then everyone else is in the middle, which is actually within really a couple of points of each other. It's not that much of a difference there in the middle. Indy's up next. Again, Jonathan Taylor, no surprise there. They were sixth in terms of expectation, first in terms of points. He's a monster, and that's not probably terribly new news. We kind of already knew that, but I'd be interested to see if the situation couldn't get a little bit better, right? He was expected for 1380. And he ran for 1811, which is just freakazoid type numbers. But expected for 41 receptions, he caught 40. Expected for 279 yards, he caught 360. So real robust performance over expectation there in terms of yardage, both receiving and rushing. Is that number, can that push up to 50? Can that number get higher, right? And when you look, 40 receptions for both him and Hines, right about the same number in terms of expected receptions and expected yards as well. Can the number for Taylor get higher, right? Is that something that a guy like Ryan could do? That would be an interesting spot. But you look at this, and one of the things that has given me pause about Taylor is how does he outperform last year? He did so much beyond expectation. How can the expectation go up? Well, the receiving would be one of the things. But sixth in terms of points per game expected, first in terms of points per game actually produced, all of that basically in terms of yardage. Seventh, and this one's interesting, is the Antonio Gibson-led Washington Commanders. And with the addition of Brian Robinson into this thing, you have J.D. McKissic as well. McKissic was expected for 9.8 points per game, scored 11.6. Antonio Gibson expected for 15.8 points per game, scored 14.7, so under expectation by about a point there. He's about neutral in terms of receiving yards. He was under by, called about 80 or so rushing yards, and was almost touchdown neutral. He was over by a touchdown receiving. He was under by 2 touchdowns rushing. So pretty close there in terms of the number. again, only 3.3 targets per game for Gibson last year. He had 8.3 of their total targets on the season, 4.6 targets per game for McKissick. So there's 8 targets there out of that backfield. It's even more when you look at some of the other guys as well. But it doesn't really consolidate around Gibson. That's the concern that I have there. So, and they brought McKissick back. They made a point of that. And you're getting squeezed kind of from both sides on the Brian Robinson's part. Listen, this is one of those situations. If this situation ever consolidated into one, could be pretty lucrative. But at this point right now, it feels like Gibson's a bit boxed in. And so that was 7. And the last one of the show is 8. And that is the LA Chargers. 26.1 expected points. They scored 27.9. That is good for third. They were 7% over expectation. That is 7th versus expectation. So good there. No surprise. We love them. Austin Eckler, really good. Last year, expected for 18.3 points per game. He scored 21.6. He caught 70 balls and was well over expectation in terms of receiving yards. Expected for 536, he caught 647. Expected for 3.9 touchdowns, scored 8, which is interesting. Expected for 9.3 rushing touchdowns and scored 12. He overperformed basically in every rushing and every yardage and touchdown number, right? So 20 total touchdowns there for him. I wonder, and this has been a bit of a point of, I don't know if it's concern with him, but you compare him to a guy like Taylor, and people have said, hey, there's just no way. Eckler doesn't have the ceiling to be a running back one where Taylor does. I mean, Eckler was 18.3 points per game expected. Jonathan Taylor was 18.2. So right there, they're both, really close in terms of the top of the position. Again, you look at a situation, for example, you could look at a situation like Carolina, and McCaffrey has the ability to smash that. He was 18.4 expected points per game. Again, it was a shortened season, and a couple of those games were actually shortened by injury as well. So, but that's the range, right? And I think McCaffrey's got the ceiling for that number to be even higher, and we've seen that number be higher when he was a running back one, for example. 24.2 points per game in the 6 games in 2020, for example, there for McCaffrey. So I think McCaffrey's in a league of his own, but I think we discount a guy like Eckler having that ceiling at our own at our own peril there. So, that's basically the top 8. Green Bay just on the outside there, looking in. And again, I like the Aaron Jones profile this year quite a bit as well. But he a little bit less in terms of expected points, 14.9, and he scored 15.4 last year per game. So that's a little bit of again, when you're getting 10.7 points per game siphoned off the top by Dylan, there's a little bit of a concern there. But you just see, like, I think some of these guys can really get in. A guy like Eckler, too. If he's not, he should be up there. And I think if you're looking to make an upgrade at running back that could really change your arc, Eckler has that at not the same cost of a guy like Taylor, it's tough to say McCaffrey. He has a lesser cost than McCaffrey. McCaffrey just has a higher ceiling than anyone. But I think Eckler, if you were to try to go, hey, I want to go sort of bargain shopping for elite running backs, I think Eckler's probably the one of the places to go. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And I hope this is helpful in terms of thinking about potential moves and the like there. And continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.